This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Guy Donaldson.
Alison Mulder.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Now, Guy, we'd been talking about your early music education, your time at Whanganui Collegiate, and then you went to Christchurch and did a degree in English with music as a minor. Where did you go from there?
When I was at a university, I had a visit from my primary school headmaster, who was at that stage a recruitment officer for secondary teachers. And he persuaded me that since I didn't know what I was going to do once I finished university, that I might consider secondary school teaching. And that the pathway to that would be to take up a studentship, which would pay me money while I was at university, and particularly at when I was at the Teachers College. It would assist me with my time as a student. And then if I chose after that not to go teaching, I just pay it all back. As long as I saved it all, then that would be a very sensible move.
Okay, and so it was so it wasn't just the teacher training, it covered some of the cost of your degree?
Yes.
Was it substantial?
Yes, I seem to remember that it was... it certainly contributed, but the main part... was, I think, that when I went to Teachers College, that I was also being paid to be a student teacher rather than having to pay the fees. So that it carried all the way through there, and the particular emphasis really about the rewards for doing it was when I was at Teachers College.
So it was a certain amount when you were at university, higher at Teachers College, and when does the bonding aspect...
Well, I can't remember the details. I suspect it was 3 years or so, or however long I had the studentship before that I was bonded for. And as I said, that the logic of receiving all the money and banking it and not spending it, and then the notion I could pay it back or I could benefit from it later on was just
So he suggested that.
So then when I finished university, then I thought, okay, here we go.
would you know then what happened to students who accepted the money and then failed the teacher training?
I don't know many who failed the teacher training. Certainly there weren't any in my year.
Okay.
I think there may possibly be one or two who were asked to leave, but I don't know the details.
So whether they'd have to pay back the money or...
Possibly, but it was it was by today's standards. When you actually received money to be a student and to and then go on to have studies to be a teacher, and we were paid a salary to be a trainee teacher. It was hugely generous. Showed huge foresight, I have to say, at a time when there was clearly the money that could be expended for that. But these were idealistic times. That the those of us who went into the teaching profession were idealists, and the idea that sustained us, that we were there to teach the students and not just to teach the subjects, and we were there to make a difference for students and all the rest of that. So that having finished at university, gone on to Teachers College, then this was the next stage of a mission. that to go teaching. And when I was at Teachers College, first of all, I enrolled at Teachers College. I had decided that I was going to be a teacher of English and French.
Not music?
Not music.
Okay.
But I also wanted to complete my diploma of music and the ancillary studies. And I was taken aside and I was told that by Guy Jensen, who was the director of the music program there, that they needed more students in the program, and that he strongly advised me to drop the French and to take music as my minor study there, and which was the right move for me for all those purposes there.
Why hadn't you, having done music performance as a minor, why hadn't you chosen to be teaching music?
A very good question. I don't know. I think I was trying to spread myself and sustain my interest in languages and not lose track of that. And I knew that I was still sustaining the music. Yeah. I think that must have been the logic.
Yeah.
But as it happens, I never got to teach French. Though I have to say, my studies in languages have been absolutely beneficial for me in my career, especially for my choral work or my job as training singers and the rest of that. But going back again to the teacher college days, I did a section of teaching practice at Rongotai College in Wellington. And happened upon there the charismatic Tony Jennings, who was in charge of the music department there, and I had a wonderful time at Rongotai College. And so when it came to the end of the year at Teachers College, we had to apply for positions. I had a choice either going to Burnside College in Christchurch or to go to Rongotai College. Remember my interview at Burnside, they asked me, had I applied for anywhere else? And I said yes. And and I said I'd applied for Rongotai College. And they said to me, if you were offered that job, would I accept it? And I said yes. So I wasn't offered the Burnside job. But when I was offered the Rongotai College job, I had a strange message from the headmaster, and that was that he was accepting me as the being in charge of music because Tony Jennings was going overseas, and my job was to be in charge of the spiritual life of the school, which was a rather a strange charge for a young first year teacher of music and English.
And it would have meant Christian, meaning spiritual, and you'd associations with church?
Very good question, because, again, change of culture. This is a state school which started every assembly in the morning with the boys singing a hymn from the given hymn book, or the song book. Hmm. And my job included, even though I had said I would not, didn't want to do it, it included three sessions per week of taking substantial parts of the whole school in the assembly hall for training, for teaching them the songs. And so I was...
So the school had training in our school. We just go and sing the songs. Them all. Yeah.
Well, that was the stated idea.
Yeah.
The truth was that when if I took out substantial parts of the school for three times a week there, it gave other teachers free periods.
Mm-hmm. Okay. <yeah. laughs>
So I was sort of the sacrificial lamb.
But I suppose for the kids, that was also a break from the normal routine of learning, and this is a fun thing to do.
It wasn't a fun thing to do. They thought this was, well, it was a useless activity, because Just imagine a first-year teacher with almost no teaching experience being the sole person in a large assembly hall, up on the stage behind a piano, cajoling, leading the group, and expecting everything to go well.
And you'd be talking about how many kids?
I had... there was one cohort of all the third and fourth formers, so there's another cohort of fifth formers, another of sixth and seventh formers. Those are the three sections.
So you're talking about maybe 100 kids each?
Oh, no, there would be... For the first cohort would be probably up to 200 or so. And, you know... It would very often descend into chaos. And in those days, the Rangitai College had a reputation in New Zealand as being the caning school in New Zealand. And when the noise got so great that it could be heard down the corridors, this begowned figure would appear at the back of the hall, and hush would descend, and he would say, you, and you, to my office. And then he would walk down through the centre aisle and up on the stage and tell the boys how deeply disappointed he was. And then he would spend the remainder of the session telling the boys why they were doing mass singing practice, which was enlightening for me.
And did it make any difference?
No.
No.
I could go into details but I won't do so. But it was part of my, training, really, by being thrown in the deep end.
Did you get much support from other teachers? Just in normal classroom experience and so on?
No. I had friends amongst the... I had a sort of a group which in the staff room, which we sort of supported each other there. But I was alone in the music department, and alone in the assembly hall, and alone in it all. It really was a matter of being thrown in the deep end.
But this was also part of your... You said you chose to go there. So with the bonding, it was just you have to teach her. You're not... You have to teach her to school we send you to.
I was initially excited by my first teaching position would be a matter of being in charge of a music department. And I had thoroughly enjoyed my time there. But that was still with the protection of Tony Jennings there, who wasn't there any longer. But... while I was at Rangitai College, I also had my first experiences with accompanying a choir, the Bach Choir, and in fact had 1 year in which I was in charge of the Bach Choir when Tony Jennings was away, and I spent the year training the Bach Choir up. Before their new music director was to arrive at the end of the year to take a concert on that music, and director was Roy Tankersley, it's a small world.
Absolutely.
Sort of thing. That's when I met Roy Tankersley, who was coming back from his studies overseas. So that when I was in Wellington, that I was also had some practical activities there. But what also happened when I was in Wellington is that on the staff of Rangitai College was the woman who was to be my first wife. And we met and got married while we were there, and then I had a decision, we had a decision in the latter part of my time when I was at Rangitai College, that I needed to resuscitate my piano playing. And my choice was, why not go back to my first significant teacher, the one that I had at collegiate school, and who was at this stage living sort of out of Taihape in Wairuru on a little cottage on a farm. And so I had a regular... time is where I go and have lessons from him to resuscitate.
So someone who'd been teaching you early on at school, you then went to university level teaching in performance piano
with Morris Till.
Yes.
And then the problem with my studies with Morris Till was a magnificent person, and he showed a lot of interest in supporting me there. He was a natural performer, and I wouldn't necessarily say that he was what I needed as a teacher, because it came so naturally to him.
Okay.
And so I had the sense that there was still stuff that I needed to do with my piano playing. And as it happened, when I went back to Morris Collier, he took me back to square one, and so I learned the piano all over again from a different perspective.
So clearly he would have been an exceptional teacher then, if having taught at that level he could still move you up after all those years.
Morris Collier was he had studied under a very fine teacher in London. And the basis for his what he was doing was very good, based on relaxation and focused work. And so I very quickly got back to a position where I could play without tension. Unfortunately, Morris was a complex person, and as it turned out, he had a tendency to, once he got students to a certain level, he would drop them. And so I was, after a short period of time, he said, your lessons are over. And so I was once again on my own again.
You said somewhere, there's nothing more I can teach you?
No, it was usually a perceived slight.
Oh, okay.
And that was involved, yeah. But it was a repeated thing, yeah. that it was
a common feature.
Yeah.
Okay. Can I just ask, because my understanding, one aspect of bonding teachers was it was a way to get teachers to, say, remote schools or rural schools and so on, but you went to Wellington.
That scheme applied for primary school teachers.
Okay.
And the primary school teachers were more or less allocated places, and they were required to do country service.
Okay.
Yes. But for the secondary system, it was
quite good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you now, to do that extra piano, returning to piano, you moved out of Wellington?
Yes, I moved out of Wellington, and I made a choice with my wife then, that she had a young child from another relationship, and we decided that it was in the best interest of the child and ourselves if I got moved closer to Morris Collier, and it was also healthy for the child.
Can I just ask that, and if it's sensitive, it doesn't, just drop it, but did that affect the child's relationship with his or her actual father?
Yes and no. What was becoming very clear is that the child's relationship with me was far closer and more stable at that stage.
Okay.
And so that the shift was at least in part to create something more stable.
Okay.
And in the end, it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And my adopted daughter, who I've got to remind myself is my adopted daughter, because we're so close, you know, that she has no doubt whatsoever that was the right thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in any case, we moved to Palmerston North.
Yes.
Yep. And that was the reason for
moving. Which school did you move to?
Originally moved to Freiburg High School.
Okay. Now, also, people outside Palmerston North, I get the impression, have a particular view of Palmerston North. Did you have a preconceived positive or negative?
The main thoughts that we had is it was going to be within reach of Wellington, but also within reach of Thai Happy. It was a sort of central, and that I had got a job, and my wife was also a teacher, and she could potentially have jobs and we sort of. But having arrived and got a rented a house in Hokafitu, we plunged into suburban neurosis. We felt the absence of the life of which we had in Wellington. It was hard going for a period of time.
A cultural shock? Was it lack of theatre? What about the music scene? Was it strong here then?
Well, it was something which I had to create, to join, which created its own dilemmas that how to I could more easily join music organisations than my wife, who became soon pregnant. So I became very quickly involved not only in the school life but also community music life.
Okay.
And yeah.
So first impression were difficult, but once you established yourself,
we started to establish ourselves. Yeah. Yes.
So was it a shock or a surprise facing those things? Because having grown up in Whanganui, you're used to smaller.
We expected there would be an adjustment, but the first year was difficult. Then my wife established friends and contacts through the play centre and the rest of that, and then we shifted to a house which we bought and off College Street, and we started to make Palmerston North our home, really.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So the sort of groups to fit into, would they be the music scene? Would it be the church scene? The sports clubs for people with that sort of inclination? What did you find that appealed?
Well, in my first year at Freiburg, I became involved in... I was a music director for Oh, What a Lovely War, which was a production there. And then I was also doing, of course, my piano studies, and I did a bit of concert work there. I was involved with the Palmerston North Operatic Society. And
that was thriving or taking over?
It was a great experience for me because I found myself having to learn how to conduct an orchestra. For that. So that was being thrown.
With good musicians?
I discovered local musicians. At Freiburg High School, as a senior student while I was at Freiburg, there was a young cellist by the name of Robert Eibel, and he had his first experience in a pit under my direction. We've still worked together these days, and after three productions of the Operatic Society, I have to say that I discovered that there were more operatic expressions off stage than there were on stage, and and I chose that that wasn't my thing any longer.
Okay.
And took up a position with the Palmerston North Choral Society, so I shifted sideways. And again, it was all a learning curve for me.
Again, we're nearly at time, but
yes.
You've been based in Palmerston North ever since.
Yes, apart from 1 year.
Yeah, okay. So did you find, you and Alison, when we sort of met, we're talking about all the connections from going way back.
Yes.
So you built up connections in those early years, and many of them have continued through the nature of the society you were involved in.
Is
you've been working and doing voluntary things with these people for 40 years?
I built up a number of connections in the early years. I, at a particular point in time after I'd been teaching at Awatapu College, I was coming through the ranks of that, and then had an occasion to ask myself, what was I doing here, coming through the ranks of this? And I decided that I wanted to do something different, and I wanted to focus again on my piano. Mm. And to do that, I'd need to have a job which wasn't all-consuming, so I decided to be a postie and do piano on the side.
Okay.
And so I resigned from Awatapa College and went into a limbo there. For better or for worse, the postie jobs dried up.
But it kept you very fit for a while.
No. Because, because I never got to be a postie, because suddenly the jobs had dried up.
Oh, and you left intending to be a postie, yes. But they turned you down.
Well,
they said you're overqualified.
Well, it never even got that far, when suddenly there was no jobs there because the contractions and New Zealand Post and all the rest of that. I decided, what could I do? And I could become a private piano teacher.
Yes.
That was the beginning of a new career. There and
that, you were able to establish yourself quickly.
Myself very quickly as a private,
because you're already known through.
Because I was already known.
Did you get many other pupils from school then going to you?
Yes,
that you'd known from school.
Yes, but also just from the community there, yeah. That I was able to build up the practice that I wanted, that I needed. Yeah. At that
and
point,
this was roughly when.
This was in the 1980s.
Okay. Yes. And there was an active local music teachers association.
Very active Richard Music Teachers Association.
Yeah.
Yes. And so that I was very active, and my wife was a teacher out at Linton Prison and doing the time. And all went well until it didn't.
This is part 2 of 5. Tune in next week for part 3.
Thank you for listening to Manawatū Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatū People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatū Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.